Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HR Latte, your first cup of talent management whipped to perfection.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to HR Latte this morning. This is Rayanne Thorne coming to you from Southern California. I'm going to be introducing my guest shortly, but I wanted to remind everybody that the campaign for SHRM Poetry is still ongoing. If there's any chance that you can donate money to benefit No Kid Hungry, part of Share Our Strength, we'd sure appreciate your donation. If you are unfamiliar, I would encourage you to take a look at nokidhungry.org. We have raised about $6,000 thus far, and we're hoping to break our $7,500 goal. It would be really great if we could break the $10,000 mark. There's going to be some auction items released the first part of next week, and we'll continue that fundraising effort. I want to thank you for joining me today here on HR Latte, fresh from SHRM. I had the opportunity to speak with my colleague, Dwayne Lay. I almost called him Latte, Dwayne Latte. I don't think you'd appreciate me if I changed his name to Latte. Well, maybe you would. I don't know. Dwayne Lay, who is actually enjoying some vacation time this week. But we had a great rundown of what occurred at SHRM Poetry, and then also had an opportunity to wrap up my series about talent management or Recruiters Go Tech. Interestingly enough, my next series fits nicely into that. And to that, I want to introduce my guest, Michael Heller. Michael, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks, Rayanne. I'm really happy to be here.
Mike is, and I guess you go by Michael, not Mike, so I won't call you Mike. Mike is
the... I've been called worse.
Well, we want to call you what light you like to be held, or right. Held called. Jeez, it's been a long morning already. We have a new puppy at our house, so it's been a little bit nuts here right now. Michael is the CEO and founder of iReview, and he's going to tell us a little bit about that. But before we do that, Michael, any impressions about SHRM last week or SHRM Poetry that you can share?
Sure. Well, SHRM I thought was good. It's a great way to get folks out there, and the thing that I took away most from SHRM was probably the networking and the meeting of new people and old colleagues that I've been connected to for years on social media but haven't met face-to-face yet, like one Rayanne Thorne.
There you go.
With regards to SHRM Poetry, what a great event you guys threw. I think that the foundation No Kid Hungry is an awesome philanthropy to help those in need. And the SHRM Poetry event brought people together that I had no idea of, not only the writing skills people had, but the way people could deliver this poetry, like Joe Gerstadt and Crystal Smith and everybody else who got up, including yourself. What a fun event, and I hope you guys will do that again in the future.
That is the plan. We actually have already decided that that's going to be the event for 2016 SHRM, which will be in your neck of the woods in D.C. Michael is based in Washington, D.C., and I'm going to give you a chance now, Michael, to talk to us about iReview. First, tell us about your history. I know that you have a long, lengthy history as an HR and recruiting professional, talent acquisition, talent management professional. And then tell us a little bit about iReview, and then we'll kick off this new series, which is basically a precursor to the HR technology conferences that are coming up in October, the HR Tech Conference, the 18th annual tech conference that's taking place in Las Vegas, and then also HR Tech World Congress / HR Tech Europe, which is happening at the end of October. So please go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and iReview.
Sure, Rayanne, thanks. I have been in HR for the better part of 25 years at this point. Started my HR career in D.C. As a recruiter. I worked for an agency that's no longer around that was purchased twice and now goes by the name of, I believe, Romac is the name of the company now. And I moved from the agency side to in-house working for large government contractors, where I escalated through the ranks of recruiter, senior recruiter, recruiting manager. And then at one point in my career, I switched gears, and I was working at Booz Allen at the time, and I went over to IT and management consulting because I thought I was burnt out on HR and recruiting. And that was eye-opening for me because What it gave me an opportunity to do was see what folks do on the other side of the table, but also understand their pain a little bit in terms of how they're dealing with clients, why it's so important for HR to be walking with line folks in lockstep. But it turns out my passion in recruiting just needed, or in HR, just needed to get revived a little bit. So after about a three-year period of doing that, I decided to go back into recruiting, and I left Booz Allen and went to an organization called Washington Consulting, where I headed up HR and recruiting for this company, which ultimately got purchased as well. And then I realized that part of the reason I love HR is because I really like solving problems and helping people. And I think that if you were to ask 10 HR professionals what they liked most, I think a majority of them, 8 or 9 of them, would love to say, I love helping people, and I love seeing the light bulb go off. That 10th person might say, I don't know, it's just a job, and I sort of fell into it. But I'm hoping that's not the case for most. From there, I went on to lead larger recruiting teams and lead larger initiatives within HR, including launching a corporate philanthropy program for a 2,500 $300 million software company through being the VP of HR at a large government contractor. And that led me up to saying, okay, I'm going to try doing something on my own. And through doing some HR and talent management consulting, I started to learn more about what are folks' issues or what I would call stakeholder problems, and how can I best go about solving those problems, either through technology or resources or maybe just some process changes. And that actually brought me to iReview. Every organization that I've either ever worked at or talked to has had a little bit of an issue with performance management and the annual performance assessments.
Yeah.
And my whole goal was to say, okay, what are some of the issues they have? Well, from the manager's perspective, they take a long time to write. I forget a lot of the things my employees did. We're never really on the same page. From the employee's perspective, they don't get feedback frequently enough. Annually is not frequently enough. Even quarterly isn't frequently enough. And it feels as though I'm just getting parroted back to me everything I wrote on my self-assessment. And then executives in an organization are really trying to tie organizational vision or their vision to individual action, and a great way to do that, presumably, is through the performance appraisal process, but it never really connects. So what iReview does is it allows managers and others to provide real-time feedback in what I'm calling bursts of microfeedback to colleagues and employees instantly and in real time, so they know what to do or what to keep doing, or if they're going down the wrong path, how they should stop doing it. At the same time, it aggregates all of this feedback, so it's really easily accessible come annual review time to pull down into an annual review.
Is there any concern that there might be a negative response to the information that's coming out in real time?
I think that there has been a little bit of that. We've talked to both clients and potential clients about that. And the biggest issue that they come up with is that sometimes when someone presents the information, it might still be raw. And maybe they're not positioning it in such a way that will best resonate with the person receiving the feedback. Well, one of the things we've done to address that is we've put together, my colleagues have told me it's world class. I like to think it's evolving, a training process. And consisting of three components. Component one is how do you use iReview, which is very, very simple. It's an app. You know how to use it already. Component two is how do you provide really good, effective feedback to others, especially using this system, especially because the system is new. So we go through some methodologies and some ways to do it in such a way that your feedback is coming across as being authentic as well as effective. The third component is how do you become a really effective feedback receiver? And look, this is based on my own experience, Rayanne.
Yeah.
Sometimes I felt as though if someone were giving me constructive feedback, I'd get defensive about it at first.
Absolutely.
Who are you? Yeah, who are you to tell me what I'm doing wrong? Or you don't know what you're talking about. Or here's excuse numbers 1 through 10 on why I did it the way I did it. But then after a while, I'd sit back and I'd think to myself, and I'd say to myself, you know, almost like Margaritaville, Jimmy Buffett, maybe it is my fault. You know, maybe it is all my fault. And then I would go in and I'd say, okay, let me reflect on this a little bit. So I go through that and I help folks how to become effective feedback receivers and how not to be a jerk when you're getting feedback as well.
So valuable. And that, you know, that would be my biggest concern is that because I like to know things immediately. I like to know things. Give me the raw data. Tell me how you felt when you saw it. Tell me what the response was. Tell me how I can do better. But then there's also that side of, oh, I have to protect, you know, so I have to protect myself. I have to protect my employees or anything that might be damaged emotionally by something that is raw, right?
Yeah, I have to come across as being a good, solid professional.
Nurturing.
You know what I mean? Yep.
It's that whole mother side of me too, so.
Right.
So
and I was just
go ahead.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. Oh, I was
no,
gonna say,
you go right ahead.
I was just talking to someone yesterday who is an instructional designer, and she went through, and this is somebody that I coach, she went through a training class recently, and there were probably 30 people in the training class, and 29 of whom gave her glowing feedback on the assessment after the training. One person gave her feedback that was constructive. And the feedback talked a little bit about how, you know, I don't think you should be asking questions during your presentation. I don't think you should be getting the audience involved so much. I think you should be delivering the information, then stepping away and letting people do it. Excuse me. And so she said, you know, I really want to respond to this person because what he's talking about is not doing best practices. And this and this and this and this. And I said, hold on a second. First of all, how many surveys did you get? She said, well, we got about 30. I said, and one person came back with some constructive feedback. Right. And it wasn't exactly what resonated with everything else. It may have been outlier. Yes. Well, I think you're smart for addressing this feedback because maybe it's something you can address. But you know as well as I do that what this could turn into is maybe just having another conversation with the person and explaining what that person meant by this. And that's part of the training we go through with iReview as well.
Wow, so it's not just technology. It's actually a consultative platform that allows you to continue, because I know you're an HR consultant as well, ongoing, so it allows you the opportunity to continue to train and consult in that manner.
That's correct. You know, and as I look at it, as the company grows, I don't think I'll be able to scale that effectively. But right now, I kind of enjoy having my hands in lots of different pieces of what we're doing.
That's that entrepreneurial spirit, right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. You're exactly right.
Okay. So what is the most important thing, as you consider yourself as an HR professional, as an HR consultant, somebody who's been very involved in talent acquisition and talent management over the last 25 years, what is the most important thing maybe an important bit of advice that you would share that an HR professional should remember when selecting an HR technology or a recruiting technology?
Interesting. I'll talk about the recruiting technology a little bit because I know that would be where some of the focus is, but I also want to talk about selecting an HR technology. I think in both cases, Ryan, you want to understand very clearly what the system capabilities are and also what are some of the areas that you find are the system might be lacking. Look, no two systems are the same. Every system has its own feature sets. And I think that if you should try to tie the system you're selecting with the process and the goals of what you're trying to accomplish with the system very carefully. Years ago, I was working at a software company called Deltek, and we were selecting a new performance management vendor. And we wanted this system to tie into lots of other systems that either we ran currently or we were going to be running. And we thought that that synchronicity was going to be very important. After we implemented the system, we liked the vendor's performance management piece, but we didn't like the other aspects of their all-in-one ERP. So we wound up scrapping, for example, their applicant tracking solution for a different applicant tracking solution and trying to connect the two. And now things are becoming more and more seamless. But
right.
it's not always going to be best to try and find the one vendor that can do everything.
Sometimes that can do everything.
Find, right. That some aspects go better and some don't.
Well, and most companies didn't launch doing everything. They launched doing one thing really well, right? It was one idea, one piece of technology that they did really well. And as a result of what a customer wanted or something that was internally starting to develop, they decided to branch out and build more components or more modules for their product. And I think it's really important to remember that. Sometimes it's easy to go in as a professional, a practitioner, and think, well, if they do this well, they must be able to do that well. And that's not necessarily the case. And the way things technology is working today, the way that they do fit together, they seamlessly fit together. A lot of them are built on APIs, so they can fit easily and nicely together. You can have the opportunity to kind of pluck and place a la carte the technologies that work best for you.
You're right. And, you know, it's one of the things that we're taking into account. Remember, my training is being an HR geek and not a technology person. So what I want to do with iReview is make it the best performance management enhancement tool that there is out there. And I want to make it so that it can integrate with other organizations that have great HR tools so that they can seamlessly talk to one another. One that comes to mind, you're probably familiar with Silk Road. And
oh, yeah.
I've been a huge fan of their onboarding process, their onboarding technology. Quite frankly, I don't know that much about their other technologies, but their onboarding technology, I think a couple of years ago, was far and away the best one that was out there. Now I know other organizations have onboarding supplements and onboarding technologies, but I don't know if they're as seamless as what I remember Silk Road's,
right.
I think it was called Red Carpet, to be.
And that's important to remember, too, that you can review and get a good idea of what's out there and then make a selection. Don't just select the first one that you demo. I think so many times HR practitioners and recruiting practitioners maybe get in a place where they feel like, oh, I have to buy from this person because they showed it to me. You know, somebody that's maybe inexperienced at using technology or is just learning about technology to be used in their practice, maybe doesn't know that you can kick the tires. You should kick the tires. You should look at a product a number of times. You should talk to a couple of different people from that organization. Get an idea and an understanding of how are they going to work with you? How long is it going to take to truly implement or integrate this product into your process? And then base your decision on that. And obviously affordability, economically, is it going to work with your organization? So many times, companies out there and the companies that I have been aware of will tack on added prices, added
right.
fees. You know, once you sign on the line which is dotted, you realize, oh, I can't really use what I bought unless I buy this. Right. So
right.
it's important
and then,
to really.
You know, it's funny. I don't know if you play poker at all, but there's this term
yeah.
called pot committed. And what that means is that you've already invested so much, even though you know you might have a losing hand, that you just
yeah.
have to continue to invest more money so you can see this thing through.
That's really a great analogy. That's exactly how it is. So when you consider what you have been through as a practitioner, you know, the things that you have tried, the technologies that you've tried, the everything that you've done in launching iReview and getting this app, the tech company off the ground that you're doing, what you're invested now since January of 2014, what's important for you to remember as a continuing practitioner, you're not a former practitioner, you're still offering HR consulting services. So what's important for you to remember as you run iReview and develop it, continue to develop it and update it?
And I'm working on this. It's almost like a work in progress, Ryan. I feel like there comes a point where you can do so much analysis on what needs to be done that if you continue to do more and more research, you can become paralyzed by all the dissenting opinions that are out there. And what sometimes needs to happen is you need to get past what I call the ideation stage and into execution. Because if you don't do that, well, then you're not going to progress forward at any point in time. A perfect example was the idea for iReview actually came to me 4 years ago, and I threw together a really quick PowerPoint presentation with macros and buttons in it that looked like a computer application. And I went around and I showed it to a few people, almost like an informal proof of concept, and they liked the idea. They thought the name at the time was crappy because it wasn't called iReview. I called it something else. But they said, wow, this thing could really have legs. And I started to talk to potential customers, and I said, well, would you buy it? They, well, no, you know, we're pretty invested in our annual review process. So then, you know, as I talked to more and more people about it, you know, I wasn't getting the headway that I thought I would be getting. I was out to dinner with one of my friends, and we were, you know, having a glass of wine and eating one night, and he said, hey, by the way, are you still working on that software project that you had going on a couple of years ago? And I said, well, what do you mean? He goes, well, we just went through, and this is a biotech company here in Washington, D.C., that has, I want to say, about 12,000, 13,000 employees. He said, we just went through our annual employee survey, and the biggest thing that people wanted was more feedback more frequently.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, holy crap, this was in 2013, and I said, this is the window that's opening.
That's right.
I said, I could start to continue to figure out what would be the best thing out there, or I could start to just build what I had in mind and start to market it and put it out there myself. And I have a co-founder who's more technology-based, which is great because a lot of that stuff goes over my head. But I went to him and I said, look, this is what I'm getting from this particular company. I think there's a need for this in the market. There's not a lot of people doing something similar. We should take a crack at it, and we did. Now, funniest part of the story is this company is still not a client, even though we're still talking to them. But we've been able to launch with you know, more than a dozen clients in less than a year.
Right.
And as a result, we're able to make enhancements and grow the product and expand our marketing efforts as well.
Well, it sounds like you're doing all the right things. You're listening to users. You're listening to the market, listening to the industry. And we're fresh home from SHRM, the annual national conference that took place in Las Vegas last week. We're looking at upcoming conferences. I know you've been very involved in a local conference called Recruit DC in your neck of the woods. I've attended that conference and participated in it as well. Upcoming is the 18th annual HR Technology Conference and Exhibition. It's a very long name that we like to call just HR Tech, coming up in Vegas in October. I think it's been moved a little bit later into October. I can remember when it was the first week in October. Now I think it's the second into the third week of October now. It's coming up in Las Vegas. I hope anybody that's interested in HR technology has an opportunity to attend. One of my favorite parts of this conference is the startup zone, or I'm trying to think of what they call it. I think it is called startup zone. It's just a few bistro tables set up where guys that have ideas like what you had with iReview a couple of years ago, 5 years ago, are sitting around talking to potential investors, mostly users, getting feedback of what do you think about our ideas? Should we move forward? So is it important for an HR technology company like iReview to attend this conference? Now, I know you plan on going. I know you've been going. Is it important to attend? Is a tech startup should they attend? Should a practitioner attend?
So I actually think HR Tech is one of the best conferences around. And I attended the conference last year, and I plan on attending again this year as well. You know, I think that to become an exhibitor, you need to think about your marketing strategy and, quite frankly, your budget and whether or not those two coincide. I do think that HR Tech gives lots of companies great exposure. There's great programming there, you get exposure like no other conference out there. I remember I actually used to attend the conference. I think I'd mentioned earlier about when we were selecting vendors. I used to attend the conference when it was in Chicago, which was years ago. And I think that the types of people, the attendees at the conference, are influencers and buyers, which can't be said the same for other conferences. I don't think people use this conference as just a boondoggle. I think they use it as a way to get information, to share information, and to really help understand products a little bit more.
What's
a little bit
new out there? What's on the horizon? You know, it's always interesting to me when I walk. It's my favorite expo hall to walk through, for sure. I spend a lot of time just walking through, shaking hands, looking at what's new out there. Last year, it seemed there were many recognition companies, right? Companies that are out there launching a new part of their recognition company, like OC Tanner had a new section that they launched of employee recognition, and that seemed to be a plethora, right, of employee recognition companies.
Oh, absolutely.
So I always look to see what's out there, what's up and coming, right?
I can totally remember the size of Globoforce's booth, and you know, total recognition type of company as well.
And there's all these different companies that were bigger and better from the year before.
Yep, and I remember also ADP last year launching their app store at HR Tech, which is such a great tool for it works so fantastically for companies like me and iReview, as well as for ADP to get new products out to their existing clients.
That's great. So what should an attendee know? I mean, you have gone as an attendee. Now you're a tech company owner. You're not exhibiting, but you're going there with the intent of sharing your product, shaking hands, the whole networking side of it that is so important. What should an attendee know when they go to HR Tech?
Well, if it's your first HR Tech conference, I think it's important to recognize it's going to be overwhelming. And
yes,
you're going to look at the guide and say there are, I don't know, hundreds of companies exhibiting that I can go and talk to. And I think that it's important for people to recognize you should focus your energy on what you think is probably most important for your organization right then and there. So recognize you're not going to be able to get to speak to every vendor, but it's probably going to be very important to get to the ones you really want to. So the night before the conference, go through the guide and pick out, or a couple of nights before the conference, pick out the vendors you really want to speak with, or start to think about the people that might be speaking that you want to try and link up with through LinkedIn and maybe spend some time with there too.
That's really great advice. What's the best lesson you've learned, Michael, as a tech provider?
I've learned a lot of lessons, some the easy way and some the hard way. The best lesson that I've learned so far, I think, has to be, be able to be flexible, but not so flexible that you need to incorporate everything into a product or into a solution. Because one customer asks for this bell doesn't mean that all your customers are going to need that bell. But keep that bell on the list, because once you start to see a trend, you can start to maybe think about how you're going to incorporate that bell later and let folks know, hey, this is on our roadmap at a minimum.
Yeah, the roadmap is so important when you're developing a new product or staying up to date with your current product. And I think it's so often tech companies, especially smaller tech companies, are reactive in development instead of really being proactive and being innovative. they end up just being responsive to what the client needs instead of really setting forth a roadmap, a quarterly, you know, quarterly updates to their product or biannual, whatever they decide, however they decide that they're going to actually do innovation, right? Or maybe have a hackathon within their own organization. What can you come up? What do you think we should do? You have an opportunity as the tech developers within this company to really see where we're going. Is there a pattern that you're seeing? I think it's so vital to really take care of these different folks that come on board and listen to what they have to say, whether they're our internal dev team or they're the clients that we're taking care of. But I think it's so highly valuable to have a roadmap and stick with it. It's easy to fall off that path and just become responsive and reactive.
That roadmap may change.
And
they can fall off of it. But yes, you're right. And there are things, you know, I'm not going to give away the secret sauce. But there are things on our roadmap for iReview that we have that are going to help organizations understand their culture in real time even better than they understand it today. It's going to be very future, very forward-looking. And we've already got designs on how we're going to do it. It's a matter of being able to put these in place and show what we're doing and how we're doing it. That's one of the parts. It's the most challenging, but it's also one of the most fun things that we're doing too.
Sounds exciting. I can't wait to hear more. When you consider, Michael, now this is a standard question that I ask each of my guests because it allows you an opportunity to really showcase and share maybe some best practices. What do you do on a regular basis? Maybe two to three things that you do that you try to remember to do in providing services or a product that you do to make sure that you do your job the best that you know how, more effectively, more efficiently.
Okay. the first thing that comes to mind, Ryan, is I've done this right now. My team at iReview is very small, but I've managed larger teams. And I've tried to communicate to all of my team members, people who have worked for me, even my colleagues, take a chance, make a mistake. If the mistake is a bad one, you know what, don't make that mistake again, but don't be afraid to go out on a limb and take a risk. So really, the first thing I try to do is take calculated risks. The second thing that I try to remember, and I do on a regular basis, is that I try to make sure that I listen first and talk second. It's funny, as we're sitting here and speaking today, Ryan, I feel like, whether it's right or wrong, I feel like I've dominated and I've spoken way too much or way more than I normally would in a conversation. But I really...
Thank God, that's what you're supposed to do.
Well, I really believe that it's super important to listen, and then speak. You know, my brother, who is my older brother, and I look up to him even to this day. His high school quote in his yearbook was, it's better to remain silent and thought dumb than to open your mouth and remove all doubt.
Right.
And I really believe that we should be listening. We should be listening instead of thinking out loud. And then the last thing that I try to remember is it's sometimes really important to take a step back from what you're doing. Think about the accountant or the recruiter or even the HR practitioner who's dealing with an employee relations issue that has been so deeply involved in the issue that they're going down this straight and narrow path, and they can feel themselves spiraling into a direction they don't want to be in. And one of the things I've learned is that sometimes put the brakes on, take a step back, and try to look at it holistically. Maybe go to a mentor or somebody you trust and explain the situation to them and say, this is what I'm thinking about doing. Do you think I'm going in the right direction? And you may get some interesting advice that you wouldn't believe.
That sounds incredible, and I love that list. And, of course, the time always goes way too quickly. So before we get to my favorite part of the show, which is the quick hit faves, do you have any last words of wisdom for our listeners?
Words of wisdom. I think people undervalue mentors a lot. Even when you get to a more senior level in your career, you should look to and always try to grab someone who's a mentor, whether it's at a place you work or somebody you can confide in that has no ulterior motive, and the only thing they have at stake is to try and help you through or into or out of a situation. I think mentors are very, very important.
Oh, that's great advice, and I consistently look for that in others. You know, how can I learn from them? Not how can they help me, but how can I learn from them? What can I learn? What can I gain from being a friend to this person or having them as a mentor? So this is my favorite part of the show, and I always clarify that because it's my selfish part of the show. I love to learn new things about new places, new foods. So the quick hit fave list is something that I've been doing for the last year plus on HR Latte. What is your favorite food?
You know what? I'm a huge fan of a place in New Jersey called Surf Taco. They have these unbelievable fish tacos there.
Oh, wow. Surf Taco in New Jersey?
Of course.
That's
don't get
awesome.
Me don't get me started on the Jersey Shore and how great it is, Fran. It's awesome.
Okay. And, well, I'm considering the great sushi that I get here on the West Coast, and I'm just thinking, fish tacos in Jersey. I'll have to check that out. So your favorite book, all-time book. This could be maybe something you're reading now. It doesn't have to be all-time or your favorite book from when you were a kid or your favorite business book. What's something that's been impactful in your life?
There's a book by Franz Johansson called The Medici Effect. It was actually a textbook while I was in graduate school. And
wow.
It allowed me to think way differently about things than I normally would. It's basically about taking two seemingly unrelated ideas or thoughts or topics and mashing them together and coming up with this explosion of ideas that helps drive innovation. It's a fantastic book.
I love that. That reminds me of the projects that I did when I was in elementary school and junior high. I think they call it the GATE program now. When I was a kid, they would bring the kids that seemed to be the troublemakers but actually were the smarter kids. That's how I like to classify it in
yep.
class, you know, that had the smarts to get into trouble and put them together. And we would, I would call them a mashup project, but they would give us a list of 20 items and we had to take one or two items off of that and create a new thing, like a frying pan and a fan. You know, something like
right.
that. Take two things and mash them up and create something new. I love that. I will have to check that out. Who's the author again? The Medici Effect?
The Medici Effect. It's by Franz Johansson.
Okay, Franz Johansson. That's on my list. Favorite place in the world?
So I've been to a lot of interesting places, including some places people haven't thought to go. Like a couple of years ago, I went to Malta, which is an island
wow.
between Italy and Tunisia, visiting my niece who was there on studying abroad. Of all the places and cities that I've been to, I love Boston, Massachusetts the best.
Oh, yeah, I do love Boston. I used to be, still am, a big fan of Chicago, but when I set foot in Boston and walked down around the dock area, and so beautiful in the port area. And last but not least, what is your favorite thing to do?
So it's funny. This has changed over the years. But right now, I love to watch my daughter do ballet. My daughter is about to enter into her freshman year in high school. And ballet is her sport. And she's been doing ballet since she's 3 years old. She loves doing it. And I hope to watch her long into my old age to dance, because I feel like not only am I watching this thing of beauty, but I totally escape. And I'm thinking about nothing else except how beautiful she looks on stage.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I hope she has a long, healthy career. I come from a long list of injuries, not to ever, ever, ever wish that on anybody. But I did ballet and chose softball and volleyball, and my needs remind me every morning. So,
right,
Michael,
right.
It's been such a pleasure to have you on the show. I'd love to have you back to talk about any new advances that happen with iReview, maybe do a post-HR tech show, wrap up what you were able to learn as you continue to grow as a tech provider in the space. I know that you have used the show as a guideline for your practice as an HR professional, but I would love to hear about your thoughts later on how it's going to impact how you continue to improve and provide services for your clients.
Let's do it, Rianne. I'd love to. This was great for me, too, and thanks for being such a great host.
Thanks so much, everybody, for tuning in today on HR Latte. We'll continue this series, HR Tech Roundup, throughout the rest of July. We hope you will tune in.